turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 44 today. And he went ashore, of course, speaking of the Lord Jesus, and he saw a great multitude, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it was already late, his disciples came up to him and began saying, "The place is desolate, and it's already quite late. Send them away so that we may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to recline by groups on the green grass. And they reclined in companies of hundreds and of fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves and kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. And there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Well, now, Father, familiar text, I'm sure, to many here. But there is a word from the Lord here, I believe. And by the Spirit and by his anointing, Father, would you please take the notes before me and truly make them in a message from you. Touch hearts, Father. I don't know when, how you will speak, but I know that we leave these things to the Spirit through the Word of God. And so we come once again as those spiritually hungry and thirsty people, and we'll ask in the authoritative name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you, Father, in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now, what do you think motivated the Lord Jesus in his ministry? After he would wake up in the early morning hours and have his time with his Father in prayer, what do you think moved the Lord Jesus? What motivated Jesus? Motives are something we think about and talk about at times. We say to ourselves, now, why is that guy doing that? Or why is she doing that? What's behind that? What's this all about? Is this person just doing that for a selfish reason, or are there other things behind it? Well, in this text, and it's something that we're going to develop today, and you're going to find that I'm going to be talking about one word. It's the word compassion, because that's actually the motive behind what the Lord Jesus was doing. And I want to develop that word today, and then we'll be covering the text rather quickly. Just notice again in verse 34, it says that when Jesus went ashore, remember they had been in the boat traveling about, there was that great multitude. And my Bible says he felt compassion for them because he looked upon the people of Israel, and they looked like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things. One of the things I do in Bible study, I don't know if you do this yourself, but I, with the computer program that I have, I'm able to lay a number of Bible translations side by side. I'm always interested in seeing how, for example, the text I might use here in the service, the New American Standard, I'm interested, well, how does the NIV translate this? Or what about the King James or even the New King James? Or sometimes a modern translation I'll look at as well. I noticed when I was comparing the Bible translations, there's some slight massaging of the text. The NIV says that Jesus had compassion. Maybe that's the Bible you're using today. But the King James Version states it a little bit differently. It says that Jesus didn't have compassion. He was moved with compassion. And I was thinking about, well, is there one or two words here? Actually, because I say was moved with compassion. That's 4 words in English, right? But if you look in the Greek text, it's actually only just one word. Just one word. The New American Standard kind of goes along with the King James, and rather than saying moved with compassion, it says that Jesus felt compassion. Now, when you read the word moved or felt, if I was referring to one of ourselves, that's an actual feeling, isn't it, that we're describing in our bodies. There's a sense within to say that within Jesus himself, within his actual physical being, he felt this towards the people. It reminds me of how a young man may feel when he's courting a young woman. As those of you who have been married for years, can you think that far back? Your wife probably can, but how about you fellas? You remember that tingling feeling that you got when you first held her hand? You know that moment in time when you first worried whether or not you would be met with rejection? And she would shove you away. What do you think you're doing? On the other hand, if you took her hand and she actually squeezed it back, you thought, this is good, right? Remember, and I'm sure, and Linda and I often, of course, I think every day, tell each other that we love each other. But do you remember how it felt in those early days when you would say to your beloved, I love you? The young man, the young woman, doesn't just say it. They feel it. You know what I'm talking about, that tingling feeling. A point here is to say is that Jesus was moved. He was truly moved. This is an actual emotion. The other evening, actually last evening, a young man was out with a young woman. And I would imagine, because I was told by him in advance, that he would get down on his knee and propose. And so our family discovered as of last evening that child number two, our daughter Ashley, is now engaged. Now, don't run out and post that on Facebook yet. Give her time, because she's telling her friends. But I'm just telling you all here, we're rather excited. Someone the other day asked me, do you think God laughs? And I said, well, we're made in God's image. We have all sorts of emotions, don't we? The Bible says, for example, the Holy Spirit grieves when we sin. The Lord Jesus cried on more than one occasion, didn't he? What I'm getting at is to say that this compassion that Jesus had was a real emotion. There was nothing phony about it. He really felt for the people he was ministering to. And so that little word compassion, as I looked at it on my computer program, I was interested to discover that this word is only used 6 times in the New Testament, once in this passage, and 5 other places. And so what I want us to do today is to see how that word was used and in what context. And as it turns out, it's a word that's always used in reference to how the Lord Jesus ministered. And so if you don't mind, would you turn over to Matthew chapter 9? And I've tried to take these in order so that it's easier to turn to these texts. In Matthew chapter 9, we're just going to read verse 36. Again, it's similar to today's passage. It says, Matthew 9, 36, and seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Now, notice that Matthew adds a little bit more color to the spiritual condition of the people that Jesus was ministering to. He says they were distressed and downcast. I was thinking, have you ever watched a dog hang his head or her head when you have corrected your favorite pet? If not, come to my house and I'll introduce you to Jack. Jack is full of expressions. If Jack could talk, and he tries to, Jack's got the pet me look. He's got give me the treat look. He seems like clockwork to know at 5 o'clock or so. He just stands at the refrigerator and he looks up. He knows the box is up there. Jack also has the oh boy, I'm in trouble look. And that's when we come home and discover that once again he has scratched a little bit more fiber out of our living room carpet. Well, these are emotions. Well, when the Lord looked down on those people, the Lord Jesus really saw people. He didn't see objects. He didn't see things to manipulate. He looked upon those people, and he saw their tired, distressed, down in the mouth, down in the dumps expressions. By the way, that expression goes back to the 1500s that describes the state of depression. The Lord saw, in other words, in this passage, when Jesus had compassion upon people, it was because he saw their spiritual need, because it was written all over their faces. and it moved him. And I want to say that's how God sees you this morning. We always talk about the bright and smiley face, and people come to, hey, how you doing? Great, you know, praise the Lord, you know. We put the hallelujah face on right. That's not true for some of you. Some of you are here, and you are carrying heavy, heavy burdens. And some of those things are so deep for some of you, it's not something that you're going to stand up in a public meeting and air to everyone else because it's so deeply private and personal. But this I can say upon the authority of God's word, that when God has compassion and looks upon his people, he is deeply moved in his spirit for his people. The next passage is in Matthew 14:14. Again, it just states there in Matthew 14:14 that he felt compassion for the people, but he also healed their sick. Now, this is an additional comment that, because in our other text in Mark, it doesn't talk about Jesus healing in that part, but in Matthew's gospel, it does. He says he healed the sick. So beyond seeing their emotionally tired, distressed faces, Jesus saw it all. He saw their actual needs. He as he looked upon those crowds, he could see who had the flu. He could see who had a high fever. We might say he could see anyone that didn't look so good. And on that hillside, as Jesus was there, he was a triage to the diseased and in some cases, demon-possessed people. And the point here is to say, when Jesus saw all this, how did he respond? With compassion. And he felt it. Now over in Luke chapter 7, if you'll go there, please. It's one of the greatest accounts of how deeply God feels towards us. How God feels toward people. And I have to say that this is such an important lesson, and application here is easy. But in Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 11, it's this story. It says, it came about soon afterwards that he went to the city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large multitude. Jesus had been ministering, but now as he approached the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, what went through his mind? He felt compassion for her. I could just stop there, and I should, because it says it all, doesn't it? Some of you, and this might be the word the Lord has for some of you today, it might just be that the Lord is saying, you're in your darkest, deepest, darkest hour, you're at the bottom, wherever that is, and he's feeling compassion for you, and he looks to this woman and says, what? Do not weep. He came up, he touched the coffin, the bearers came to a halt, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. It's a resurrection passage. And the young man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. We know that this widow, of course, had already lost her husband, obviously. There's a suggestion, at least the way I read the text, she probably didn't have any other children, though we can't say that exactly. But nevertheless, it does say her only son had died. And what was Jesus' reaction? Oh boy, here comes a funeral. Let's head off in another direction. You know, let's not be bothered. You know, but instead, he sees that they're carrying out the coffin, the dead man, of course, there. But he sees the mother. He sees the mother who is overwhelmed with grief and despair. If any of you have been in a similar circumstance, you'll understand. And Jesus felt compassion for her. That was his first reaction. Of all the reactions that he could have had, before he even resurrected that young man's body, he first felt her pain. God feels your pain. There are times in our tears where I believe that God is weeping with us, because the Lord wept with those who wept. I'm reminded of Isaiah 53:4-5 that says, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. Beloved, this compassion that the Lord felt was the same compassion that led him to suffer and die on Calvary. Who for? Hebrews 12:2. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What do we learn? The compassion of the Lord Jesus was in quality and character a sacrificial compassion, reminding me of that great hymn, "On a Hill Far Away, Stood an Old Rugged Cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, but I love that old cross where the dearest and best for the world of lost sinners was slain." We have so much to be grateful for this morning, don't we? Another text, Luke 10:25. Would you turn there, please? These are compassion texts. And every time the word is related to the Lord Jesus. And over here in this passage, in Luke 10:25, just to give you the background here, there's a lawyer who is putting Jesus to the test. And down in verse 29, if you'll allow your eyes to go there, he says to Jesus, as he was talking to him, "Who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor?" So Jesus goes on to tell the parable, the story. It may have been actual story that it happened. But he tells them a story that all of you've heard before. It's often referred to as the parable of the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan. You might remember a man is beaten and robbed, and he's left on the side of the road. Terrible condition. And a priest comes along, and what's the priest do? "Hey, I don't want to be involved." A Levite comes along. What's he do? "Hey, I don't want to be involved either. You know, let somebody else deal with this." But then the Samaritan comes along, and you remember the Jewish people, they looked down on the Samaritans, didn't they? But in verse 33, Jesus says this, "But a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion." Now, I said to you that this word compassion is used with reference to the Lord Jesus. As I look at this passage, I see a great parallel between the Good Samaritan and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to him, he bandaged up his wounds, and he poured oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, verse 35, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you." And so Jesus says, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy to him." And Jesus said, "Go and do the same." And I'll tell you what, not only did that Samaritan show compassion and mercy, and he felt it, but I believe that also that's exactly what the Lord Jesus was doing through his whole ministry. You might remember when they criticized Jesus and said, "What are you doing hanging out with sinners? Why are you hanging out in the homes of some of those people?" Jesus says, "Look, it's the sick who need a physician. I have come to heal people. I've come to restore people." And I'm convinced that Lord Jesus as well was the Good Samaritan behind the story that was at the roadside, and he was meeting people with every kind of need, and he was moved with compassion forever came across his path. And so when we're back in Mark chapter 6, when we're back in that passage, when Jesus sees those people, let me just say this, Jesus was moved beyond measure. He had compassion. It was a real feeling. He felt love for the people he was ministering to. And in his heart, he felt mercy, and he desired to serve them. And like the Good Samaritan, Jesus wanted nothing in return. He went out of his way to help others. There's one more place where the word compassion shows up, and it's in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, I'm just going to read verse 20. "But you'll immediately know the story. It's the story of the prodigal son. And again, while there's the earthly context of the prodigal son and his father and his brother, there's also obvious implications that God is here too, and how God looks upon lost people and wandering sheep. You remember the story? The one son goes to his dad and says, "Dad, I want to go out. Can I have my inheritance now?" "Sure, okay, there you go, take it." He leaves home. He goes out and he squanders it on raucous living. He ends up destitute in the pigsty, you know it. And then he comes to his senses. Remember, he comes to his senses in the pigsty and says, "What in the world am I doing here? I could go home and have a better life serving my father as a servant in his own house." Look at verse 20. "And he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, when his father saw him, he felt compassion. I love how the NIV says he was filled with compassion. He felt so much compassion for him. He felt so much. What did he do? He couldn't sit still. He couldn't even stay inside the house. He ran and embraced him and he kissed him. And how intense is that compassion? It's about as intense as it can possibly be. And what I'm getting at is this. When you go back sometime and read Mark chapter 6, verse 34, and it says that when Jesus looked at the people and he had compassion, now you know. He had compassion. It was as deeply felt as the Father's love for his prodigal son. The compassion that Jesus had was as warmly felt as the Good Samaritan who had mercy on that wounded man. This compassion was heartfelt as Jesus when he saw that lonely widow who had lost her son. This compassion welled up in Jesus so much because Jesus has a shepherd's heart for his sheep who are downcast, depressed, diseased, and needy as no tomorrow. And so what happens? In the Mark story, he's filled and overflowing with so much compassion for the people before him. He had not only taught them and healed them, he not only goes on to feed them, but he loves those people beyond measure. And so I think that when Jesus takes the two fish and the five loaves and he feeds 5,000 men, and others make the point that if that is just a reference to men, then there were probably even more thousands there as there would have been the women as well and children and his own disciples. What do they walk away with? 12 full baskets, not bad for a day's work. But I want you today to see beyond the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, which is the action. And instead, I want you instead today to think about the heart of the person that was doing that miracle for the people that were before him, because his body, the Lord's body, was not so much full of fish and bread as much as it was full and overflowing with compassion for the people who sat before him. If you're ever tempted to wonder or to doubt, does God love me? Does God care about my situation? Let me just tell you something. He is that prodigal father, that prodigal son's father. The Lord Jesus is, God is that one who cried right along with that widow on the roadside. Don't ever doubt God's care and compassion for you. He is the good Samaritan. He sees our suffering. God sees our brokenness. God sees our sorrows and our struggles. And I believe that God does come alongside and desires to pour over us his mercy. I think that's deeply encouraging. And I've asked the gentleman today to play a little video that'll remind us of the Lord's compassion. And
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son and make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me to life. I know that it is finished. Oh, oh. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no.
Our Lord's compassion is just that great. It led him to Calvary, that we could have the victory.